Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Good evening, it's Current Time, and I'm Nick Winters with WRITG News. Tonight, a shattered continent, dragons running amok, and a random duo that seems to think they can do something about it. And of course, the weather. Right now, we're going to go live on location to our three favorite guys. Ken, Trevor, Arcos, what do you see?
Hello, I am Ken Brown, and as your Game Master, I welcome you back to the world of Riven, the Shattered Continent. Will the rest of this merry band introduce themselves?
Hello there, I'm Harkos Ironjaw Bizarro, and I'm an Alakokra monk. And the world is confusing lately, but I plan to use my second chance to give everyone else theirs. And I'm portrayed by Nick Simpson.
And I am Trevor Ironjaw. The world is strange right now, but I have given my word. No matter how fate directs me, I shall stand and protect those who cannot protect themselves. Portrayed by Brad Konauer.
Thanks, crew, and thank you for joining us at our table. Now, prepare yourselves for Rolling in the Geek. Hello, listeners. Ken, your Game Master here. I want to thank you for joining us here at Rolling in the Geek. We are once again, though, asking you for your support, because through your support, we are able to create content with improved quality and quantity. Check out Rolling in the Geek over on Patreon and choose a tier with rewards that fit you. Every little bit helps us along our path. Now back to three guys who are more excited to game than sleep. Last time on Rolling in the Geek. The team formulates a plan, which basically involves a divide and conquer approach, with Harkos focusing on the ritualists and Trevor keeping Ryan busy while Zuriel floats between the two to help as much as she can. So they charge in. An alarm bell goes off as soon as they cross through, drawing Rhyme's attention. Things go well to start with, and Harkos is able to knock down a couple of the cultists and pull the energy that they left behind into the Dragonrock dagger. Trevor stands toe-to-toe with Rhyme and holds his own for a while until Rhyme gets a couple of really solid hits in and almost takes Trevor down, forcing him to act more defensively. Zuriel switches focus to Rhyme and hits him a couple of times before he turns his attention to her and hits her with a breath weapon. Twice, actually. Syraxis is able to absorb the energy off of one of the ritualists and then kills one on her own and steals the energy from that one too. Trevor is finally able to best Rhyme, which causes Syraxis to slaughter the remaining ritualists and offer to make a deal with the team. She has two massive minotaurs bring out the rest of the group that came down with them that were taken prisoner. She offers to let the B-team take everybody out as long as they let her continue with what she's been doing for now. They deliberate and finally agree, since she and Harkos shake on the deal. She tells them the last door behind her will lead them to the surface, so they lead the mass up the stairs to safety. Supposed safety, I guess. And that is where we pick back up. So you have gotten everybody moving, getting them up the stairs, and heading up. Is there anything that you're wanting to do here?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it would be. No. No, not here, I guess. No, I'll wait.
Okay, so you lead the assembled mass to the stairway, and it is a long set of stairs, leading, from the best that you could tell, almost directly straight. Like, there's no curves, there's no, like, levels to this. It's just a straight go. To the best that you can tell, about halfway up, you get a feeling. Both of you do. You get a feeling. This inclination to stay behind for a moment while everybody else goes on.
Both of us, or?
Both of you. Oh. Like, I would think that you both get this feeling and almost, like, turn to look at each other in that moment.
So, if that's the case, I think Harkos will call for Lenara and William.
I would say that they're probably pretty close to you, and so they, like, turn back to look at you with it.
And...
yeah.
Harkos is going to hand Evelyn to Lenara and gesture for Trevor to give Phil to William and his men. We're right behind you. We're going to make sure that we're not being followed.
Okay. Just don't dilly-dally for too long.
We'll meet you at the ship.
Okay. Lenora kind of shoots you a look, Trevor. Just do not take too long.
I promise.
I'm not afraid to come back down.
I am well aware.
William gives you a nod as he throws Phil, kind of like fireman carry style, over his shoulder.
So, thank you.
They turn and start moving them up.
So as they get out of earshot, I'll turn to Trevor and go, so you felt that too?
Definitely. I don't know what it was, though.
Me neither.
So as you're talking, you hear shifting of stone. And, like, grind and scratch against each other as from behind Trevor, the wall of this stairway folds out and back into itself and opens up to a small room.
Draw my hammer and shield.
Well, this is probably anything but bad. So,
well, I'll go first. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, so we head in.
So you walk in?
Yep.
All right, you head in. There's no doorway per se. It's just a chunk of this stone has folded back to allow entrance. And as you step through, your eyes have to take a moment to adjust because it's much brighter. And as your vision clears and your eyes adjust to this, you're in what almost kind of looks like a smoking room, like a smoking lounge, an old, like, high class kind of, like, off room where there's a bunch of very cozy looking seats, like velvety cushions and that kind of stuff. And there's a roaring fire set into the wall. And standing next to it, leaning against the mantle, is Malus. And next to him is the large half-orc man, who you figured out was named Alakandar. And as you enter the room, Alakandar looks over at you. You see he and Malus kind of share a look, and Malus gives him a nod.
I am Alakandar, herald to the father of fathers, the walking destruction, the king, the progenitor, Malus.
And he gives a nod and then backs away. As you see, go ahead, roll a perception for me.
I don't want to. I changed my mind. We kept going up. I hate this already.
Yeah, I hate this too. 18.
Oh, I'm glad you got something. I'm back to my regular rolls. Perception is a total of 7.
So Trevor, you can see that Malus rolls his eyes as Alakandar finishes. He steps back and Malus kind of turns to look at the two of you, and she lets you go.
Well, it's not quite how it happened, but sure.
Could have ended a very different way.
You're right, her pet could be dead.
Well, you and I both know that's not how that works. Not really.
It sure would have felt nice, though.
No. It would not have the next time that you saw him, I can promise you that.
It's debatable.
What they don't teach you, and what it's been too long for most people to even remember, is that each time that they die, they come back stronger. So no, you would not have enjoyed it. He kind of takes a glance over at Alakandar. 5,780 times has Alakandar died. And each time, just a little piece comes back stronger. The rest of the heralds haven't had time like he has, but they've done their due.
So what's this about?
I'm sorry, I digressed. What's your plan?
It's funny you think we have a plan.
I was hoping you did. I didn't think anything. I just merely hoped that you did. You see, he takes a glass of what appears to be some sort of brandy off of the mantle and takes a sip, and he points over at a cupboard that's off to the side. Help yourself to a drink if you want some.
Yeah, I think we're fine.
Yes, I did my reveling last night.
So you have no plan. That's...
We haven't had a plan for any of this. It's kind of what happens when you're not, well, when you're thrust into, the end of the world, or whatever you might want to call it.
Well, it's not the end of the world. I can promise you that. At least for my part, it's not the end of the world.
No, just the subjugation of it.
Yeah, that's probably accurate.
That's the plan, is for that not to happen.
And you have no means to help move that along or further that end goal.
Well, I think we've been doing pretty well for not having a plan.
And even if we did have means, you expect us to just spill those before you. So if we do have anything that's even remotely threatening, you can be sure to run ahead and snuff it out, because that's how wars are won, is one side comes over and goes, so here's what we were thinking, and the other side goes, oh good, we'll let it happen.
I think that you misinterpret my intentions with bringing you in here. Do you see my daughter here to listen in on this conversation? No, she is busy with her own thing, and that's fine. I'm not here to want for the
destruction of your people. I'm not here to watch for the destruction of this world. It's not me anymore. I just wanted to make sure that you had something. Or see if you had something.
So you were in there with her when we all first spoke.
Yes.
And yet, you don't want anything to do with her?
Oh, I do. I want to see her succeed because she's my daughter, but I also don't want to watch the entire devastation of this world. I can feel two things.
And maybe I had my head hit one too many times. This does not make sense.
He leans against the mantle again.
I apologize. I'm sure that it is difficult to understand. I'm not making myself be clear. I love my daughter, as I love all of my children. And I'm sure that she does too. With her children, but just because I love my daughter does not mean that I wish for her to succeed at what she's doing necessarily versus getting some of what she wants. There's very weird fine lines, but I was here long before your people awakened.
So we've heard.
And it was one of her children that did it. It wasn't one of mine. Mine have never been that sort. But I watched you all flourish, and I watched you grow, and I watched my daughter subjugate your ancestors, and then I watched you all flourish again. Grown rather fond of you. Not you necessarily. I have not known you very much for very long.
Yes, I understand that.
As a generality, I do enjoy your people. But I also can't just leave my daughter or allow her to come to harm without my slight intervention. Not full intervention here, but slight.
Yes, because in most situations when a parent, if that's what you are, sees their child doing a thing that they don't completely agree with, they go, well, that's kids. Very close personal confidant of your daughter made sure that me was not allowed to be just kids. So proper scolding and punishment could prevent the thing that you're trying to not prevent by preventing it with your not intervening unless you need to intervene, which I assume you're doing now in some modicum. This is your way to... You want us to be your intervention with your daughter, but we can't intervene so much so that you get upset by what happens to her.
There's a roundabout way of getting there, but yes, pretty much.
So... So you hoped we had a plan and we don't. So, what are we doing?
Apparently nothing.
Our lack of a plan's done us fine so far. Honestly, it's kind of hard to plan when you don't really know many details of what's going on.
Welcome to the world of most people who step into the shoes that you have.
Oh, I mean, we didn't step into it. We kind of fell into it.
Yeah, whatever verbiage you want to use. Welcome to the big world.
Zo, do you have some suggestions by chance? Is that part of why you brought us in here?
Where are you going next?
Away from here. That is our plan.
Ugh, okay. What is your next goal?
Well, forgive us if we're not... Maybe we're not being clear. You are openly stating that you're the father of the thing that we're trying to destroy. So whether she's in the room or not, talking to you about any modicum of ideas we have for our next steps sounds like the exact opposite of what should be done. We have no reason to trust a word that you say. From what we've heard, you shouldn't exist anymore. So whatever you've done to still be here, super fishy. The fact that you're basically playing both sides, super fishy. And I would know a thing or two about fish, so... I don't believe we owe you any sort of information. We've had a very rough time with everything so far, and as my friend has stated, we've done fine, and we will continue to put our best foot forward and do what we can. But if your daughter wants to break all of your toys, and you don't think we're doing a good enough job, oh well. I'm having a hard enough time coming to terms with a lot of things lately, and trusting you is not going to be on that list. Not anytime soon.
Okay.
I'm not gonna fucking talk to this guy. I don't fucking know this guy. Dude opened a creepy fucking doorway in a stairwell. I'm not gonna fucking trust this guy.
Alakandar, can you please go and retrieve you know. Give me just a moment. He takes another sip of his brandy and kind of swirls it a little bit. You see the half-orc walks off. After a moment, you hear some rustling and a door open and close, and you see him walk back out and hand a box over to Malus. Now, if you want to be at least somewhat civil with me, I can give you what's inside of this box. Or I could make sure that it gets into the wrong hands. So which way do you want to go?
Listen, when I said we're leaving this place, I meant that. That was not a smart remark. Nothing. We don't know where we're going next.
And I hope that you understand why that's terrifying. So can we be civil with each other? I can understand your lack of trust in me. And anything and everything that I would hold dear, I can understand why you wouldn't trust this. I want my daughter to live. I don't want her to subjugate an entire people. Again, I can feel two things. He opens up the box and he pulls out a jar.
And who might that be?
This is Henshi Durath, the Brass Methuselah. I can give this to you, and where you should go to find their herald so that they can come back, because they were a great ally of your patron. Or I can make sure that this gets where it was supposed to go, back to my daughter. You want allies. You want to be able to stand against my daughter when she inevitably is able to pull the trigger and get herself back up to her former self.
Of course.
Maybe when somebody offers you a hand, instead of spitting at it, you should sometimes take it. To the best of my understanding, you made a deal with one of my other children. He's done some pretty nasty things in his past. So why trust him but not me?
Oh, I think trust is a awful strong word for that situation.
He's out free. Must be some amount of trust there.
That was an accident.
Well, the first part of it was, but letting him go wasn't. So, can we be civil? And I can hand this over to you and give you direction? Or do we do the other thing?
I think civil is doable.
I was going to say, Harkus will hold his hand out. Not in a handshake, in a expectant waiting for jar.
So he opens up his hand. And you think for a moment that the jar is going to drop, and it just stays in place and slowly kind of floats over to you. And there you are. The person that you're... person that you're looking for is Pirwa, Henshi Durath's herald. She is currently following a rumor that her herald is already alive, which is some misinformation that was spread, and I don't know what the source of that was, but it's misinformation nonetheless. Because Henshi Durath is right there. But she is searching in the mountains. It's the Sothran Fangs Mountains. It's along the southern shore, there is a mountain range that rises from the cliff face that goes to the ocean. She's searching there for her master. I would recommend you take a swing through a certain shining city. and then continue following that path through the south and get to the mountains and find Pirwa.
So, since you've given us that tidbit, perhaps you could tell us what your daughter meant when she said we should get far away from here. Does she mean this keep, the city?
Or was that... I would definitely recommend that you evacuate as many people as possible from this.
Fantastic.
I honestly have no idea the amount of destruction that she can bring when she takes her true form. A quick question. How many did she get?
Five.
Five. I would suggest evacuating as much of the city as possible. I expect there will not be much left of the capital after she's gone.
And how much time?
Not long. If you took out five and denied her those five, I'm assuming?
Yes.
You don't have to tell me, but how? I'm curious.
Dragon Rock.
Interesting. It's very interesting. Okay. That's good to know. A day, max. I can't imagine it would be any longer than that. It could possibly be much shorter than that.
So we should get going.
Yes. I expect we will probably not talk again.
Well,
if we do, trust that I want my daughter alive and not you dead. The royal you, the people. Hopefully I've given you enough that you can believe at minimum that. Good luck.
One more question.
Yes.
With everything that's currently going on in Aetherport, all of the hidden things that have been occurring, I need to know if a name... Oh, this feels weird. But I'm a cheater, so I need to I need to know if you of all people, if a name means anything to you.
What's the name?
Aquin.
You see him smile. It does mean something to me.
Who are they?
Did you meet Aquin?
They've been keeping a close eye on a lot of things.
I expect that they are. Now take this for what it is. To the best of my knowledge, if there's someone named Aquin, then they're a herald.
To whom?
Les Karnak, who is the Green Methuselah.
For fuck's sake. Green eyes. And where does that one's loyalties lie?
They once laid with Syraxis, but you've seen firsthand how that can shift. I would expect if Aquin is watching you and not trying to tear you limb from limb, that gives you something. Something that you can work
with. Harkos bags the pot and turns to leave.
It was nice meeting you. And mind you, I do not hold any resentment for what you did to my other daughter, Pylorida.
To be honest, with the little bit we've heard of your kind, I guess, I hope maybe one day we can actually speak.
I rather enjoyed parts of our conversation. I don't know what you mean, though.
Like a long talk.
I'm sure that there's plenty that you'd want to pick from this brain.
Thank you for the assistance.
You're welcome.
I'm gonna head out.
Last piece of information. Before you step up. It's not your fault.
What do you mean?
It's not your specific fault.
That everyone came back?
Yes.
Well, it sure feels that way sometimes.
I feel guilt for what happened before my children fell. But past does not dictate our future. Just hope that you can move past that. It is not your fault. To be perfectly fair, it's actually.
Coincidental timing, then.
Love of my daughter. You had to. It had to be you. I'm sorry, I'm taking more time with this than I was expecting to. It had to be. It had to be you because of your mother. Because she was one that was able to walk away. You had blood from both sides of this. It had to be you. I didn't have another choice.
I feel like that is somewhat less comforting than you intended it to be.
If that's the case, then I am sorry. Get as many people out as you can.
We will do what we can.
If he's still in town, use Lavinworth.
What was... Say that one more time, Ken. Sorry.
If he's still in town, use Lavinworth.
Lavinworth. Why does that sound familiar?
Tyrillian. Lord Tyrillian.
Okay.
He gives you another nod and raises his glass to you. Good luck.
Heading out.
Hey, you walk through the doorway, which unfolds and closes on itself, and you are back in the stairway.
I suppose we should get to move on.
Well, we've got a day.
While we're making our way up the stairs, since you're quite a bit faster than I am, do you want to see if you can find Tyrillian?
Sure. I can do that.
Inform the guards and the ship and everyone that we need to start doing what we can to get people out of here.
So, are you continuing up the stairs?
Yep.
Yes.
Hey. Harkos, are you going ahead to try to find Tyrillian and assumably Jubilee?
Yeah.
Okay. So you take off, and I'd say that the timing of this is such that you break out into the open very shortly after the rest of your group got out. But you pop out through the wall that surrounded the keep. It was a stone door that was meshed into the wall right near the front gate. But you pop out, you see the rest of you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Your friends are down below, starting to head back towards the Brava. What do you want to do?
I guess I'd probably catch up to Lenara real quick, let her know that Trevor's right behind me. But we won't be coming straight back to the ship because we're going to try and start doing our best to evacuate the capital as a whole. So I'll let her know that I'm looking for Tyrillian and that Trevor's going to get the guard on the same page and we'll go from there. And for her to, like, I guess, warn people at the port.
What do you want me to say? Like, how am I going to? Do I tell them the truth?
No.
Just whatever I can to get them to go.
Yeah, we can't. People laughed in our faces with the truth, and no offense to the seafaring people, I don't think they'll take to the news much better, so.
She kind of shrugs. Like,
anything to get them to mobilize, and I guess if anyone's capable of taking refugees, do we do that? We have about a day.
Did her eyes get really wide? Like, that's a lot of city in a day. All right, we're going. All right, let's do this. And she kind of starts trying to hurry the rest of the crew along.
Yeah.
Trevor, you bust out from the same place pretty much at this point. So.
I'm going to hustle my way to catch up to them.
They're not too far away. That Lenara's getting a moving, but they were not very far out from the keep by the time that you broke out. So
as I'm making my way up to them, I'm taking paper out of my pack and writing a note and scrolling it up and giving it to Kingsley. Please go take this to my parents.
He nods and flies off, not giving you the usual sass that he's given you. When you've set up, he knows the gravity of the situation he's going.
All I want in the note is just a quick rundown. We need to get everyone out of the city. You know, here's what's going on.
To your parents, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
He's fine. He can go.
All right. He grabs the note, flies off.
Lenara, I think I have an idea.
I'm open because I'm not sure how I'm going to do this.
As silly as it may sound, I would like to get on the ship and fly over the town a few times.
Should I be concerned about what this plan entails?
Well, it'll get the word out quick.
Okay.
So. My plan, we get on the boat and I'm going to use thaumaturgy and warn the town.
You're just going to do like sweeping path, like old timey cars with the like megaphone.
Yep.
Like you're shouting out.
We'll sweep over it and I'm going to use boom my voice with it. And, you know, haven't thought of a thing yet, but
now hear this.
Hear ye, hear ye. I am Trevor Ryder. The rebels are hiding on Endor. okay, so Lenara / Brava crew start heading towards the Brava. William will, he has hoisted over his shoulder. He's like, well, I've got more guards in the keep still. What do you need from us?
Has anyone seen Lavenworth?
I have not, but I've got plenty of contacts throughout the city. If he's here, I can find him.
I need to speak with him.
So he turns and he barks out an order at one of his other guards who salutes and runs off. And he says, I don't know how long it'll take, but if he's in the city, we'll find him.
And then outside of that, we need to come up with the best plan to start getting as many people out as we can, because we're not going to save everybody this time.
I...
William, we don't have enough time. There's... This is going to sit with all of us forever, but we can't focus on the ones that we can't save. We have to save the ones we can.
I understand. Gotta save as many as we can, but I'm not dumb. I know that there's too many. We can't get them all out. Not in a day. So, my guards will start getting entrances prepped for mass migration out.
Good.
Can I give this bundle over to one of you so that I can have my hands free to do this?
Yes, of course, obviously.
I'll take him.
Okay. So he gingerly hands Phil over to you, who is still in very rough shape. And he grabs a handful of his guards, sends them up, like you see him start. He goes into fucking captain mode and starts barking out orders, getting people sent off. And then after his elite squad is gone, he runs back to the keep to start assembling them. And now it's the two of you plus an unconscious Phil.
I'm heading to the boat.
Okay. Harkos, what are you doing?
Brad, who told you how to talk to Numerath? Was it Divinia? Or was it Torevir? I think it was Torevir.
It was a little bit of both.
I think Torevir started the conversation, and then Trevor prodded Divinia for more clarification.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But okay, but that was both of those were done in front of Harkos, correct?
I believe so, yeah.
Minimum the Torevir one was. So this is what was in the side of my notes. So before, because I got nothing else for Harkos to do, so he'll probably just go to the ship to help as well. Before heading over there, Harkos is going to, as weird as it seems, I ain't got nowhere else to fucking go. So he's going to sit down in the street for a second, and he's going to go and do like a meditative, position like he would when he's meditating at night. And he's just going to think to Torevir, I don't expect a response, and I don't expect anything of this, but I wanted to make it clear that I hope you saw that, however you want to interpret what just happened, if you saw it, she lost a little bit today too, so she's not everything. And then he's going to stand up and start going towards the boat.
As you're starting to stand up, you get a twinge inside your mind. Roll a wisdom check for me.
Okay. So it's the same number either way. Never mind. Dirty 20.
You get a twinge inside of your mind that is followed up with
just a couple of words that come into your mind seemingly out of nowhere. So you get that twinge, and then you hear almost like a whisper.
Keep proving it.
And that's all that you get.
Well, it's more than Nick expected, so.
And then as you stand up, the storm changes for just a moment, and there is a lightning strike in the snow. And then it goes back to a gentle snowfall.
Cool. All right, I'll head back to the ship with the Bratva crew.
All right, you head back. So Trevor, you were going first. So I would say that you get here first. You run along the same path that now for so many times that you've taken, and something's missing.
Something's missing.
The tabaxi is missing.
Of course.
But I would say that you take note of that because it's the first time that
he's been gone.
He has not been here.
Mm-hmm.
And then you continue on to the Brava. And then shortly thereafter, Harkos, you take note of the same thing.
Okay.
But the both of you arrive back at the Brava without incident.
Sweet. Get everybody loaded up and push off.
Okay. So very quickly after the Brava crew gets boarded, much of the crew was in somewhat rough shape. There was obviously some fights that happened along their path, that you've got some broken bones and cuts and scrapes and bruises. And it looks like most of them are not too much worse for the wear. Like, they'll heal, but there's still some, the damage was done. But Lenara gets everyone kind of situated and starts getting ready to cast off. Where did Avalon go? Did she go with the Brava crew? I'm assuming.
I think so.
Or I guess if no, we need to, if I we think, need to retcon
I,
something,
I think she was doing something with different. William's crew. Because she had the smaller numbers. Oh, do you mean now?
She did now. Yeah. I'm talking now.
Yeah, she would have. I would assume she would go with the Brava crew.
Okay.
I mean, if we need to retcon that's what she was directed to do by one of us, then that's what happened. But yeah, now she would be, she would be with us.
So she'll come up to you and we're like, what can I do? I'm no use on a boat. So what can I do?
I don't know. I don't know what to do either. This boat was, this ship was a pleasant place a day ago and a dream, and now I feel just as out of place. I'm not meant to be here. I can't do anything here.
This conversation's happening close to me. Yes.
Yeah, I would assume so, unless you're fucking off to go and do something else. But
Avalon, you can fly, can you not?
Yes.
Well, if you fly anything like Harkos here, I know you can cover quite a bit of space very quickly. Perhaps the two of you maybe fly around as we fly overhead and maybe try to direct people. Maybe we can keep a slight bit of order in the chaos.
She looks to you, Harkos. Does this sound like a plan?
It's doing something. We can do that.
But she kind of rolls her shoulders and you see her wings spread out. If you're ready, brother.
Always. And Harkos will go up into the air.
Trevor, you see she kind of crouches down a little bit and springs up into the air with a great flap of her wings and flies up. And she is not as fast as Harkos is. she's able to keep up ish with him, but she's not as fast as Harkos. He's fucking monk. He gets speed bonuses.
I'm not seeing it in that way though. I'm having a nice little warm hero moment in my heart for Harkos.
But she takes off behind you. It takes a few minutes of furious activity on the deck of the Brava. But after about 15 minutes or so, Lenara comes up and she gives you a nod and the Brava's ready to go.
Well, when we're overhead, Trevor will start hitting himself with thaumaturgy.
What are you saying? Speech me.
Citizens of Aetherport, I am Trevor Ironjaw, son of Sterling and Bianca Ironjaw. Our family has served your city for many, many years. What I'm about to tell you may sound crazy, but please, take my word as an Ironjaw. Something bad is about to befall this city. We all need to leave. Quickly. There will be people directing you where to go. Try to help your neighbors, your friends, your family. Get them out quickly. At best, we have a day. I don't want us to hang around that long. Please. We want to get everyone to safety. This is a very large... This is a heavy request. But if we all work together, I believe we can make it happen.
I just keep repeating that.
Roll a charisma check.
Oh boy. Can it be a save?
No. At best, persuasion.
Okay, well, if you give me persuasion, that helps. That puts me at an 18.
Okay.
No, a 19, because my persuasion is a +5.
So you do your thing. You take your sweeps around the city, bellowing out this speech. And you get pretty limited results.
Ugh.
Roughly one in every five houses, you can see people are starting to move. But it seems like the people of Aetherport are erring on the side of indifference in this moment.
You know, this is probably stupid. I want to try my divine intervention.
Oh, shit.
Come on. When I see that nobody's, like you said, it's very lackluster, one in five houses.
Mm-hmm.
I think Trevor, in an attempt to not lose hope, is going to kneel down, close his eyes, and attempt to connect to Numerath.
Okay. Roll your divine intervention.
Fuck me. What is it? I gotta be under my level, right?
Yeah, so you need a 10 or below.
Equal to or lower than your cleric level. Come on, dice. No fucking way. I'm gonna send you a picture. Is double zeros low?
No, double zeros is 100.
Oh. Never mind. I got double zeros and a 9. I thought I got a 9.
Yeah, so.
God damn it. Well, how is that 100? That'd be 109.
Oh, I thought you meant like zero
on both.
Sorry. Here,
you got 9.
You got 0, 0 and 9.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've got to be here. Fucking shit.
I'll show you right here.
You gotta be fucking shitting me.
Jesus. Fucking odds. The first time he fucking uses it.
Can you see that? Is that too dark?
No, I can see it. That's fucking nuts.
That is absolutely fucking nuts.
God, 10% right. Chance.
So
hold on. give me just a second here. I gotta my brain has to wrap around your 9 here for a second. Okay.
So I have a thought in my head of what my little prayer is going to be. Do you want me to go along and head on do it? Or still give you a breather?
Go ahead and yeah, go ahead.
I don't know if you will even hear this, and if you do, I don't know if you can do anything. But please, we've let enough people die, and we would like to save as many as we can, but they're not listening. I need you. I've spoke with you. I know I've asked for things, but I need you, Numerath. Please. Come show these people that what I say is true. Help us move them out of the city so Syraxis does not take any more lives. Please.
Okay.
The biggest kick in the teeth about this is no matter what level we make it to this campaign, you're never going to hit that again.
Nope.
Nope.
This is your one gimme, and it's to evacuate a city, which, I mean, in Trevor and Harco's perspective, is very helpful. Never going to fucking happen again. We're going to be on death's door and be like, it'd be really great to have some divine intervention. It's just going to be 99.
I know you're about dead, but I scoff at your request. Be better, minion.
I gave you, though. Everyone gets one. Everybody gets one.
Do you have 50 billion gold? Cool. The first one was fucking free.
Fucking Numerath just swings in on a spider web.
Everybody gets one. Tell him, Davinia.
Everybody only gets one. Oh my god. Okay. So this is what I'm gonna give you. I guess two things. So one, it seems odd of the timing of this. But as soon as you finish your prayer, the snow stops. And then from over the horizon, the sun rises. And with those rays, as morning's light starts to creep over, that warmth basks the entirety of Aetherport with shining light. And almost immediately you can tell that the snows from this probably Syraxis inspired blizzard starts to melt. And as those beams of sunlight continue to pour into the city, they almost start to burn away the clouds that had been hanging over you the entire time that you've been. Until very quickly, there is just a bright blue morning sky. And from your heightened position, and Harkos, you would see this as well since you were in flight in this moment. The rays are taking a form. And you see in the sunlight this massive pair of golden draconic wings hovers over the city. And then without it changing a physical appearance, without it changing what anybody is seeing from below, you see those wings wrap over the city of Aetherport, almost like it's shielding it from something. And then you hear your voice, not from your own mouth, Trevor, but boom from the skies with that same message that you had tried to broadcast out, but powerful enough that it rattles windows, that it shakes the buildings. And then you start to see people are paying attention now. And as people start coming out of their homes, the first in a series of powerful earthquakes start. And that, my friends, is where we will call it for tonight. I appreciate you.
Man, I had goosebumps.
I was waiting for the anger and it wasn't coming, so I was just gonna go ahead, but please hit me with your anger. Feed me with your anger.
Goosebumps. I was so dedicated to what you were saying, you son of a bitch. You know what? I hope Gracefire dies.
Oh my god!
That was rude. I can't even say that.
You don't get to come tomorrow.
It's at your house. You gotta stay in bed.
Yep.
That was rude.
It was rude.
I didn't mean it.
The puppies and the baby and all the children and your wife.
I didn't mean it. My anger got the best of me.
Thank you all very much for joining us at our table. If you're enjoying what you're listening to, we would kindly ask that you show us some support. You can do this in a couple of different ways. The first way is to do something as simple as just buying us a coffee. If you go to ko-fi.com, you search for Rolling in the Geek, you can do a one-time donation there. If you wanted to do something a little bit bigger, we have our Patreon. We are good little warlocks and offer up sacrifices to our patrons depending on the tier that you choose. Speaking of weekly sacrifices, John, thank you. This has been your weekly sacrifice. Brad, where can these fine folks get in touch with us?
I'm still stuck in a fantasy dimension waiting for you to finish what was happening in that store. Us in general.
Here in a week, you will get the realization of that fantasy world.
I just want the audience to know that you are not alone in this a-hole in his cliffhangers, because he kills me every week. Man. There's been a few weeks where I'm like, oh, that wasn't so bad. A few out of the episode. This is episode 94. Yeah, a few.
Usually you're very vocal about those too.
Oh shit.
Man. You can subscribe to our newsletter on our website at rickgeekpodcast.com to keep up with all things Rolling in the Geek. Or you can find us on any of your favorite ear bacon stations. Also, we're very active on Twitter. And if you want to talk to a bunch of rad content creators, podcasters, artists, and all around cool people, you can join us in the Underground Oracle Discord through the link on our website.
Thank you very much, Brad. Nick, this week, you are the sound cleric of light. Thought it was on theme for the ending there. With your powerful rays of editing prowess, you were able to shine light into the darkest, deepest depths of our shit sound quality and find the gems that are hidden within and bring them into the light. Can you please flare us up something fun to go out on?
Sure. Hootie Hoo from Nick and Harkos. As per usual, Brad's wanting more out of episode 94.
Yeah.
Tune in next week as Madness thrives in episode 95. Didn't think about this when we started recording. It's October, and so that means our 2-year anniversary is coming up. We'll be 2 years old on the 11th. So in celebration of that, we're going to do what we did last year, All our typical Patreon stuff we're going to release for free on the regular podcast places. Any of our patrons that hear this, I've already shut off the you didn't get charged. I shut off the charges for October a little while ago. But yeah, we're gonna get that stuff out for free this month, so you'll get the Under the Trench Coat and the pre-show warm-up crap. It's not always crap, but it's usually crap. But you'll get all that on your regular ear bacon stations as per usual with the episodes. And we're just gonna do that for the month of October. And if you enjoy it, feel free, like Ken was saying, to check us out on Patreon and subscribe to the $5 tier is what gets you that extra stuff. The $1 tier gets you the episodes early on Mondays, as long as I'm up to snuff on my editing game, and the other stuff's on the $5 tier. But enough rambling for me, because that's not my job. This week's song, much like last week's song, I didn't go to Jen for this one. I went to Brad for this one. So Brad gave me a song suggestion. And he also said that he wanted a song about Trevor and Harkos for whatever reason, you fucking sap. So.
Well, this should be interesting. Mostly because I don't remember what song I gave you, but I'll know here in a minute.
Without further ado, here's the parody for episode 94, courtesy of Mr. Konauer himself. All right. We got problems every day. We're striving for a better future. Giving Riven a suture. Chasing all the bad dragons away. Trevor and Harkos didn't know what exactly they had signed up for. The mines grew into so much more. But they won't stop without victory. Or death, whichever comes first. They're not great, but they're not. They're what Riven's got. So they'll have to do. Hope they do well. So that's the pair. You know them well, and they, you know, they won't be conceding. A revolution they're leading to prove your past doesn't make what you can be. Hope they stay strong, fight a war long, and save every city. Whoops. If they can't, it'll be shitty. But I guess they're just two guys trying their best. Give them a break already. They're not great, but they mean well. And we all hope this threat they quell. Trevor and Harkos could be the team that we all need. Go down in history. That's it.
That's awesome. I feel like that needs to be our theme song.
Yeah, okay. I titled that one "They're Not Great." By the way, that's what that's called.
Again, I feel like it needs to be our theme song.
when you went into the they're not great. Mm-hmm. I thought it was gonna be they're not great, but they're not bad. Like that's what I was expecting. You threw a curveball at me. It's not different. Yep. Stop
Oh, those three are a hoot. So we're going to cut away for a quick commercial break. Make sure you tune in and stay dialed in to Channel 69 WRITG News right here.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.